All right, good afternoon, everyone. So we'll just learn a little bit together, as Simcha mentioned, being that we're in Chevron today, an incredible zechus, and how amazing it is when you start the morning in Kever Rachel, and then literally again you make your way up to this holy city. You know, Chevron is one of the holiest cities in Eretz Yisrael, together with Yerushalayim, with Tzfat, with Tveria. Of course, every city in Eretz Yisrael has incredible Kiddusha, but there are certain cities where there's a particular manifestation, a particular concentration. And the truth is, we really, in an ideal world, we would have done this year before Maras HaMachpelah. We would have had a little bit greater context, but just to understand, I'm not here to give you any Kiddushim or any novel ideas, but you know, sometimes the people we take most for granted in life are family. And often, again, the people closest to you are very often the people that you often don't appreciate. How often, Rahman al-Islam, does it happen that a person only truly appreciates a spouse when they're gone? Or a person only truly appreciates a parent when they're gone? So that's part of human nature, that those who are closest to us, for whatever the reason, we often take for granted. And the truth is, it's not just true with our immediate relationships, it's true in a historical context as well. So we know this morning we went to see Rachel Imenu, this afternoon Baruch Hashem we had the schus to see Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah, but I really just want to spend a few moments just speaking about who were these people, and why they were so special to us, and why they're so meaningful, and why we're so privileged to have such magnificent parents. So take a look at number one. The Torah says, "Vayavo ha'polit vayagi la'avram ha'ivri." This is on page 13. "Vayagi la'avram ha'ivri v'ushochem be'elonei mamrei ha'amori achi ashkol v'achi aner ve'imba'ali bris Avram." So remember again, the Torah tells us the story where Lot and Avram had decided to part ways. Lot decided to resettle in Sodom, and Avram Avinu continues to live within Eretz Yisrael. And what happens? Lot is taken captive. He's dragged into a regional conflict of the four kings against the five. The Palit, the survivor, who Rashi HaKadosh identifies as Og, comes to tell Avram Avinu that Lot has been taken captive. So what happens? Pasuk Yudalid, Vayishma Avram Kinishpa Achiv. Avram Avinu hears that his nephew was taken captive. Vayorekes Chanichav Lidei Beso Shmona Asar Shlosh Meos Vayirdav Achad Adan. And what happens? Avram Avinu hears that his nephew's been taken captive. What does he do? He assembles his army of 318 men and he runs after Lot. And what's the obvious question?
Why?
That's always a safe one. Good. Right? The obvious question is, what are you thinking? You have 318 men at your disposal, and you're talking about a major regional conflict between four mighty kingdoms against another five mighty kingdoms. What are you going to do with 318 men? And explains Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk so beautifully in his Sefer Midbar Shur. He explains, did you know what the greatness of Avram Avinu was? Avram Avinu was the kind of person where if he said, it has to get done, then it got done. See, Avram Avinu taught us that in life, if you want to accomplish something, then you have to tell yourself that failure is not an option. And Rav Kook says something so beautiful. He says, you know, often we have many dreams and aspirations in life, and often they don't materialize. So why don't they materialize? I mean, no one here knows. But, right, if it was a group of men, right? So why don't they materialize? It's not because we're not lazy. Because what happens often when you embark upon an initiative in life? I want to accomplish A. So how do most new life initiatives begin? I really want to accomplish this, and I'm going to
try.
Okay. I'm going to try the best that I can. And says Rav Kook, albeit in a different lashon, when you say something like, I'll try the best that I can, what I'm doing is I'm providing myself with an out. What I'm saying is I'll try the best that I can, but I recognize that I may not succeed. I recognize that I may fail. I recognize that I may not be able to accomplish my objectives. Says Rav Kook, when you give yourself an out in life, when you give yourself the option for failure, then 9 out of 10 times, that's the option that comes to fruition. The greatness of Avraham Avinu, and you see this throughout Avraham Avinu's entire lifetime, is that when Avraham Avinu knew that something had to happen, failure was not an option. I have to get Lot. That's what I have to do. I have 318 men at my disposal. If that's what I've got, then that's what I've got. And I need to figure out how to pull a victory, how to pull a victory out of this compromised situation. We have that in our DNA. We constantly face uphill battles. We constantly face impossible situations. So how do you manage an impossible situation in life? By telling yourself, this must get done. The only way is forward. The only way is the pathway for success. Failure is not an option. Does that mean if one adopts that mindset that everything goes according to plan? Of course not. Does it mean that the path becomes easy? Of course not. Does it mean that things materialize when you want them, how you want them? Of course not. But when a person lives life saying failure is not an option, and I must find a way to make my dreams, make my aspirations a reality, some way, somehow they come through. Take a look at number two. Sara Imenu. And here's a contrast between the power couple, the first power couple, Avram and Sara. So the pause says, Vayu chayei Sara, me'ash shana ve'esrim shana ve'sheva shanim, shnei chayei Sara. So beautifully the Torah tells us, and again, Parshas Chayisara and Chevron, so it's a good scriptural allusion. So the Torah says that these are the years of Sara Imenu's life, 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years. These are the years of Sara Imenu's life. So you're familiar with the famous Rashi. Rashi HaKadosh brings down that why does it break it up into 100 years, 20 years, 7 years, that when Sara Imenu was 100 years old, she was like at the age of 20, and that she was sin-free. And when she was 20, she was like 7 in terms of beauty. You know, it's interesting, people often assume it should be the opposite, right? When she was 100, she was like 20 when she was, in terms of beauty, and 20 like 7 in terms of sin. So the Gemara explains that a person is not held accountable by the Beis Shammah, the celestial court, until the age of 20. Why does it mark her beauty as a 7-year-old? Because the beauty of a child is an innocent beauty. Sara Imenu was a spectacularly beautiful woman, but it wasn't just an external beauty. It was a simplicity. It was a pashtus. It was an innocence. And Rav Soloveitchik says so beautifully, there's another lesson. The other lesson is that Sara, what does it mean that when she was 100, she was like she was 20, when she was 20, she was like she was 7. The Rav says so beautifully that 7, 20, and 100 represent the three different stages in life. 7 represents childhood. What's the hallmark of childhood? What's the hallmark of childhood? Innocence. And what else? Simple happiness. I know I can say this. My oldest child is here with us today. You know how it happens with your oldest child? You know what happens? Mamish, like, you know, you get every single nice toy and every single wonderful. You know, I want to stimulate the brain activity, so I want them to become like a molecular physiologist, whatever it is. And then what happens? And you spend all the money, and the family spends all the money, and then what happens? You come home, and what are they playing with?
A pot.
Right? A pot. So then you realize, okay, as they say, so that's it. There's no point in doing this anymore. So what happens? There's an amazing cycle in life. When children are young, all they want is for someone to love them, someone to care for them, and someone to hold them. So interestingly enough, that's what young children and old people have in common. So when you're young, you want someone to love you, to care for you, to just hold you. When you're old, you want someone to love you. The problem is, it's like the ages between 10 and like 80, where we become exceptionally complicated people. But the greatness of Sara Imenu is that she maintained that childlike innocence. You know, there's another beautiful part about children, which often is their greatest vulnerability, which is their trusting. Children aren't cynical, right? Children have no baggage. So children see the good in the world. Children see the beauty in the world. I mentioned this story in my drasha a number of weeks ago, but I'll share with you again. You know, for the everybody here is from Baltimore. I don't know if you're familiar with this. There's this thing in Baltimore called Uncle Dobie's ice cream truck. Did you ever see this? Okay, so to call it an ice cream truck is a little bit of a stretch. Really what it is, it's a converted 16-seater van with like an air conditioning stuffed in the back. That's the ice. So my kids came home telling me one day that Uncle Dobie's ice cream truck might come down the block. So sure enough, we're sitting at the dinner table, we hear the ice cream music, and what happens? The kids get all excited and we run out. And as we're going out, literally it's this green 16-seater converted van with an air conditioning in the back, and it looks like he carved out a hole in the side. And I said, wow, that is the saddest ice cream truck I've ever seen. And my little Nechama, my youngest daughter, says, Tati, it's so pretty. Aww. And I said to her, I wish I had your eyes. I wish I saw the world through your lens. I wish I saw things with that childlike simplicity, with no cynicism, with no sarcasm, with not being jaded, with not carrying around baggage of being hurt, of being taken advantage of being trampled upon. I wish I had those eyes. Those are the eyes of a 7-year-old. Those are the eyes that just see everything that's beautiful. What's 20? You know, 20 is the age where you say to yourself, what do you say when you're 20? I'm going to conquer the world. I can do anything. And I have a list of all the things I'm going to change. Nothing in me, I don't have to change anything. But the things I'm going to change about everything and everyone else. And again, but in a positive way, I'm so filled with optimism about my ability to impact change. The world is my kosher oyster. I can do whatever I want, however I want, whenever I want, and I am going to be an agent of universal change. And then what happens? We get a little bit older. And as you get older, we realize life is not simple. People aren't simple. The things that I wanted to accomplish perhaps will not come as easily, and often we give up those dreams. What happens at the age of 100? First of all, halal, I will be zocha to find out. What happens at the age of 100 is that a person is a little bit more mellowed. You see, at 20, it's also a little bit dangerous. Because sometimes when you think that you could do anything and everything, you end up making reckless decisions. The age of 100, a person already has life wisdom. A person is more seasoned. A person understands a bit more of the nuances of life, a bit more of the nuances of relationship dynamics, a bit more of the nuances of themselves and of others. And explains Rav Soloveitchik so beautifully. More often than not, what ends up happening in life is we graduate from phases. So we stop, we were a 7-year-old, but then at some point in time, we lose that childhood innocence. We were 20 years old, we thought we could conquer the world, and then we kind of give that up and we become what we call the worst word, which is realists, right? Realists is another word for people who give up their dreams. Realists is another word for people who give up beautiful aspirations. And then, says the Rav, the beauty of Sari Imenu is that she took every stage of life with her. That she never stopped being a 7-year-old. She never stopped being a 20-year-old. And she never stopped being a 100-year-old. She took the different aspects, the different stages of her life with her through every stage. The greatness of Sari Imenu is that she never stopped being that child who saw the world with beautiful eyes. She never stopped being the 20-year-old who thought she could conquer the world. And she was able to temper all of that with the wisdom of a 100-year-old. We see this. Sara Imenu, after being barren for so many years, what does she say to Avram Avinu? What does she say? She says, take Hagar. Take Hagar. And Chazal explained that Avram Avinu was going to marry Hagar, have a child. And again, you understand the Mesiras Nefesh. Why would Sari Imenu? Avram didn't ask to take Hagar. As far as Avram Avinu was concerned, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not going to bless him and Sarah with children, so be it. If that was the end of the Abrahamic journey, then so be it. So why does Sarah suggest to take Hagar? Because Sarah says to Avram, this is bigger than us. This is about a vision. This is about a destiny. And we need to find a way to push it forward. And when Avram Avinu says, fine, I'll take her as a pilegesh, as a concubine, which is like a second tier wife, Sari Imenu says, no, the future, because they thought the future of the Jewish people was going to come from Avram and Hagar, the future of Klal Yisrael has to come from a full-fledged wife. She was an idealist throughout, but an idealist who saw the world through such beautiful, simple, innocent eyes, but an idealist who used her life experience to also grow and to dispense wisdom, not just for others, but also in how she lived. And at number three, Torah says the same exact idea about Avram. Avram zakeim ba bayamim. So again, Rav Soloveitchik explains so beautifully, what does it mean to be ba bayamim, to come in days? Avram Avinu perhaps was the first person to age gracefully. So, but you know, the Torah's view of aging gracefully is not Botox or anything else. Nothing to do with wrinkles or creams or anything like that. The Torah's view of aging gracefully is where you find meaning in every stage of life. See what happens. You hear this all the time. There are some people that lament what they can no longer do. Right? So as we get older, oh, I remember when I could do this. Right? I remember when I had this freedom, this flexibility, or my legs can move like this, or my back can move like that. And we spend so much time lamenting the things that we cannot do. But says the Rav, what we have to try to do in life is figure out how to maximize the stage that we're in. That's the greatness. Avram zakein ba bayomim. He was old, But the greatness is that even in his old age, he aged gracefully, in that he was able to find meaning in every different stage of life. Both Avram and Sarah possessed this beautiful quality to take every stage with them, to maximize every stage, to grow from every stage. Just very quickly, number four, the Torah says at the end of Parshas Chayei Sarah, Vayivieha Yitzchak, Ha'ohel Sarah Imo. Remember again, after Sarah Yiminu dies, Avram dispatches Eliezer to go find a wife for Yitzchak, and Yitzchak brings her to the tent. Vayikach es Rivka v'tihilo li'isha v'yehaveh v'yirachem Yitzchak acharimo. There's so much, we could spend hours on this one pasuk. We could spend hours because this is one of the first times that the Torah ever discusses love. Torah never told us that Avram Avinu loved Sarah. Torah tells us ultimately about Yaakov and Rachel, but this is the first time the Torah speaks about love between a husband and a wife. And where does that love germinate? Where does that love take root? It takes root in the ohel, in the tent of Sarah Imenu. And we know Rashi HaKadosh points out, he says there were three miracles in the tent of Sarah Imenu. What were the three miracles? Number one, the Shabbos candles remain lit from one Shabbos to the next. Number two, there was a blessing in the dough, blessing in the challah. Number three, there was an anon kasher al ha'ohel. There was a cloud that was always attached to the tent. And again, Rav Soloveitchik explains, although Rav Kook says a very similar idea as well. The Rav explains, what's the meaning of these three miracles? And listen very carefully, because this is perhaps one of the most sweetest pieces of Torah you will ever hear. The Rav explains that those three miracles were exceptionally important miracles, not just for Sarah, but for all of us. The Shabbos candles remaining lit from one week to the next means that Sarah Imenu was able to harness the Kiddusha, the holiness of Shabbos, and she was able to take it with her into the rest of her week. The challenge we often have is we have beautiful religious experiences. Look, it's only Wednesday. It's only Wednesday. And you see already just in the 2.5 short days that we've been here, how much beautiful spirituality we've been able to amass. But what's the problem? What's the problem? Is that often easy come, easy go. The challenge in life is how do you harness? How do you harness? How do you contain it? How do you go ahead and allow ourselves to become a keli, to become a utensil, to be able to retain this divine energy and to be able to take it with us, not just back to Baltimore, but into other mundane situations in life. That's what it means. Sermon was able for someone who was able to take a beautiful uplifting experience, and the chizuk and his orus, the awakening, didn't end when the experience came to an end. But she took it with her. What does it mean? There was a blessing in the dough. So blessing in the dough sounds exactly what it is. You know, there's always someone who has more dough. There's always someone who has better dough. There's always someone who has bigger dough. There's always someone who has designer dough. There's always someone who has this kind of dough and that kind of dough. There's always someone who has something better than what you have. And so, there are two different types of people in this world. There are people that spend their lives lamenting what they don't have, and there are people who try to find the bracha in what they do. Sarah Imenu lacked many, many things in life. Many things. Many crucial things that are necessary for day-to-day happiness. But Sarah Imenu chose not to focus on those things. She chose to find the bracha, the blessing in her isa, in her dough. And although it wasn't as great as other people's dough, it wasn't as voluminous as other people's dough, but that was the dough she had. That was the dough she appreciated. That was the dough she celebrated. What does it mean that there was a cloud? Anan kasha ohel. And here again, how beautiful this is. The cloud, you know, how do you feel on cloudy days? Right? So cloud usually represents gloominess, represents sadness. Sarah Imenu had a cloud attached to her tent because Sarah Imenu had a rocky and turbulent life. Sarah Imenu did not have it easy. And it wasn't just with the barrenness. And it was not just the strife between Yitzchak and Yishmael. And it wasn't just the fact that Parchan the Shmasa, she died as a result of the Akedah. Sarah Imenu had a difficult life. If you were to categorize her life, you wouldn't describe it as a sunny day. You would describe it instead as a cloudy day. But despite all of that, Sarah Imenu was able to maintain her Simchas Achayim. It's easy to be happy when things go your way. It's easy to be optimistic when things go your way. That's easy. But the truth is, to be a descendant of Sarah Imenu is to be besimcha even when it's anan kasher al ha'ol, even when the cloud is attached to the top of the tent, you still find the way to be able to be happy. Let's just do one more, two more, and then we'll stop. Number seven, I'll skip a little bit. So remember, the pasuk says vayikachim vayavirem es hanachal vayavirem es asher lo. Yaakov Avinu takes his family across Mar Var Yabok, and what happens? He crosses the family over, and then Vayvasa Yaakov Levada Vayavek Ishimo Ad Alos Hashachar. This is the famous Maisa. Yaakov Avinu struggles with the angel the entire night, and although he ends up standing at the end of the night, right? Or I should say, by morning he's still on his feet, but what? But not without injury, right? As the Torah says, Vayiga b'kaf yirecho, v'toke kaf yarech Yaakov behav koimo. Yaakov Avinu is limping. And says the Ramban, this struggle with the Malach foreshadows the ongoing struggle that Klal Yisrael has with the nations of the world. We go ahead and we are successful. We remain standing. But even when we stand, we're still limping. There are losses. There are casualties. There's pain. There's heartbreak, but we're still standing. And I think what this also teaches us is, and this is very important, you know, greater society, I mean, back in America, greater society, Western society often teaches us that life is supposed to be struggle-free. And if you're struggling, it means that you're not doing something right. Right? Either upgrade to a new service, or download a different app, or find some way to make your life easier, because that's the goal, to make life easy. That might be true for the nations of the world. It's not true for the Jew. The Jew lives with the mantra, Adam la'amal yulad. Man was born to struggle. Life is about struggle. And life is all about, seeing, there's no great nisayon, there's no great test in how you manage the good times in life. Everybody, I've never heard a person complaining, oh, I have too much good that I don't deserve. People say it tongue in cheek, but they don't really mean it. Right? They say, oh, I don't know, Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving more than I deserve. Great. And watch, if God takes it away the next second, why did you do... Nobody really believes that they're not entitled to what they have, right? We all live life with a certain sense of entitlement, but it's important to understand that life is all about the struggle. Expect the struggle, and even more, embrace the struggle, because the struggles that you have are necessary for the people you need to become. That's the story of Yaakov Avinu. Even though, again, it's come back into Eretz Yisrael, away from Lavan, he engages in the struggle with the Malach, because life is all about the struggle. And lastly, Leah Imenu. We spoke about Rachel this morning. I'm not leaving her out, Chas V'Shalom. But Leah Imenu, number 8, Vatar Od Vatelet Bain. Leah Imenu gives birth to her fourth son, to Yehuda. Vatomer Hapam Ode Es Hashem. This time, I will thank God. Al Kein Kerash Shmo Yehuda Vata'amod Miledes. She said, this time I will thank God. Now, of course, this time she thanks God because, remember, there are four wives. Everybody knew there were supposed to be 12 sons, 12 Shvatim. So you'll do the math. And again, you'll realize that would leave each wife with three sons. Leah has her fourth. I've gotten more than my portion. She gives thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Gemara says something absolutely dramatic. The Gemara says that Leah Imenu was the first person to ever give hodah, to ever give thanks to God. And there's an obvious question. What does that mean? What does that mean? I always think for a second, you know, can you imagine Noach gets off the teva, right? What do you think when Noach gets off the teva? That door finally opened. What's the first thing you think he said? Thank God I'm getting off this box, right? Thank God I'm getting out of this table. You don't think he thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You don't think Avraham Avinu ever thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Sorry, man, everything. Leah Imenu was the first person to thank God, but Rav Schwab explains so beautifully that Leah Imenu was the first person to ever thank God for Teva. She was the first person to ever thank God for something that occurred in the natural order of the world. Everyone thanks God for the splitting of the seas. Everyone thanks God for the supernatural events. But sometimes we go ahead and we look at the natural events of life as just that. Natural, ordinary, and nothing all that special. Leah Imenu was the first person to say, remember, how does Leah Imenu name her first three sons? Very painful names. All representing, again, her incredible pain and heartbreak about feeling like a second-class citizen in the eyes of Yaakov Avinu. And then she says, hey, wait a second. What is going on over here? I know my life is not perfect. I know that I don't have the love of Yaakov like I would like it. But I've just given birth to a healthy child. Hapam Odes Hashem. Just because it happened to Bilhah and Zilpah, just because this one had it and that one had it, doesn't make it any less miraculous. Leah Imenu teaches us to find the supernatural in the natural, to recognize that everything we have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an incredible gift, is an incredible bracha, and ultimately, again, is something spectacular from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we come to this place, we recognize that at the end of the day, this is the Yerusha, this is the inheritance that we have from our forefathers. From Avram and Sarah, from Avram Avinu, we learn determination. Set your goals and no backpedaling. Failure is not an option. From Avram and Sarah, we learn how to maximize life at every stage and to take every stage with us. From Sarah Imenu, we also learn, and from Yitzchak Avinu, we learn how to go ahead and find the blessing in our dough, take Kedusha with us, and ultimately, again, find joy even in the cloudiest of circumstances. From Yaakov Avinu, we learn to embrace and to overcome the struggle. From Leah Imenu, we learn how to see the bracha even within Teva. So when we come back to a holy place like this, we come not simply to just visit Kvarim. I'll tell you just a personal confession. I happen to like cemeteries a lot. It's the bane of my family's existence. But for me, I don't know, I might be a dark personality, but for me, it's an incredible thing. But we don't just come here to come to a kever. We don't just come to graves. You come here because when you stand by the tzion of Avram and Sarah and Yitzchak and Rivka and Yaakov and Leah and this morning by Rachel, we come because what we say is, I pledge myself to live your ideals. You're my mother, you're my father. You teach me how to be a person, how to be a Jew. And I come here to recommit myself to those very ideals, to those very values. We should be Zochem, Yartz Hashem. Not just in the schus of coming to visit, because coming to visit is nice, but that's not it. But we should be Zochem Yartz Hashem by coming to visit, that we come to really reinvigorate ourselves with the ideas, with the ideals of our avos and imos. We should be Zochem Yartz Hashem, that we should live lives that should give them ongoing and eternal nachas.
We need to get on the bus quickly. We are meeting with Hallel Ariel.